Pray with me if you would this morning. God, we are in your house and we are excited to be here. We come with expectant hearts, knowing that you are not a God that slumbers nor sleeps, and you are a God who encompasses all of creation and all of humanity and has the number of hairs upon our head known to you. And we pray this morning, Lord, that we would grow in grace. We pray, Lord, that we would know you more as you know us fully and completely. Help us, Lord, as we journey with you to make those bold new discoveries about your greatness, about your grace, and about, Lord, how we can become more godly. So as we approach your word, help us to take from it what we need to live expansive, joyful, and fruitful lives as followers of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Help us now, gracious God, to hear, to understand, to accept, and to be strengthened. We pray these things as your people, the loving, beautiful people of Shandon Congregational Church. And all the people of God said a mighty amen. Well, we are upon our last message dealing with the sermon series, The Promises of God. Of all the thousands of promises contained within God's Word, we are perhaps now onto the most important promise found within the entire Bible. Indeed, this promise is part of our series, Memory Verse. You know that as I introduce a new series for us to consider, usually on a monthly basis, sometimes 2 months, I may preach on a topic, a theme for a sermon series. And there's usually a memory verse that I assign or attach to the sermon series. And so we remember Psalm 105. He remembers his covenant forever, the promises he made for 1,000 generations, which includes you and I. And the promise that is before us today is all about life. But as we all know, life changes, doesn't it? Can I get an amen? Does life change? It does. It changes through the years. Our marriages change. Our children change. Everything is in flux and is in change. Even our bodies, we might not want to admit this, but our bodies even change. Yes, as much as we hate to admit that perhaps at times. And as we look at the changes that occur and take place throughout life, we're reminded of the stages of life. Yes, there's newborns, infants, toddlers, preteens, then there's teens, and then we came up with a new one between just starting out adolescence and becoming a teenager called tweens. The tweens are in between becoming a teenager, young adulthood, adulthood, maturity, old age, and so on and so forth, yes? But I have found, as I was considering the stages of life, I have found 4 wonderful stages of life that I wanted to convey to you. And the first of which, Now, stay with me, my friends. The first of which is this. Lemonade. Yes. So think about a time when lemonade was important to you. Lemonade. The next is Gatorade. Okay. And then moving along into the next stage of life is Medicaid. Yes. And then the final stage of life is hearing. Yeah. Okay, so we've got lemonade, yes. When you're a small child and you've got your lemonade stand set up and you're selling to everyone within the neighborhood, yes, I see the hand in the back. And then we move on to Gatorade when we're involved in sports and running up and down the basketball court. And then we move on to Medicaid and all the Part D supplements that they're trying to sell us right now. And then finally, it's hearing aid. Well, I think that all of us can agree that life is very precious. I can remember way back when my sister was born. I remember her birth very specifically because it happened at home. Intentionally so, yes. Live births at home were once not all that unusual. Lots of us were born at home. How many of us, just out of curiosity with a show of hands, yes, my sister is anticipating, and there's Janet. Janet was born. How many of you were born at home? Just out of curiosity. Let me see your hands high. How many of you were born at home? Okay. All right. How many of you? Thank you. Thank you. You're very special people. Yes. Okay. How many of you were born in a hospital? Just out of curiosity. Okay. And how many of you did Dr. Evans bring into the world? Yes? There you go. As the time came for my sister to arrive, I remember being ushered out of my parents' bedroom, yes, and after a little while, I can remember hearing this baby's cry, and that was the birth of my sister. I remember her coming into the world, and she is now 48, yes, and you know, I can't quite understand or come to terms with this, but she still considers herself to be the baby, yes, at age 48. Life, I'll tell you. The value of life is always up for grabs, you know. War, poverty, famine, industrialization can all cheapen or end life entirely. When I pastored in Great Britain, one of my churches was on the estate of the former petrochemical giant ICI, Imperial Chemical Industries. And I had probably in that time that I was there more funerals for 30 to 40 year old young people because there were just that many toxins and there was that many industrial pollutants that were in the environment. And many of the diagnoses were always very nondescript, but they were young people that were passing away. But perhaps arguing against the example I just gave, the longest range data that we have life expectancy for actually comes out of Great Britain, because early on, as a civilization, they began to keep very, very early records about a life expectancy. So we can trace this. We can go all the way back to 1558, actually, when they started tabulating how long people lived. 459 years ago, if you were living in the United Kingdom, your average life expectancy was 22.4 years old. How many of you are older than 22.4 years old? Can I see a show of hands? You'd all be dead if you were living in Great Britain in 1558, okay? But in 2011, in the United Kingdom, the average age was 80.8, which is very, very good. People living in India didn't catch up to the earliest mortality rate recorded in Great Britain. Again, back in 1558, it was 22.4. And in India, it took another 323 years for them. In 1881, that's when the average Indian person lived to 25.4 years old. The biggest increase in life expectancy can be found in Japan, where in 1865, around the time of our Civil War, the average Japanese person lived to 36.4 years old. Okay, but in 1945, it dropped, for obvious reasons of the war, down to about 30 years old. But then in 2011, it was 82.7 years old. So between World War II, the average was 30 years old, to 2011, 82. So you're seeing a bump up, an increase there of 52, a little bit more than 52 years that the average Japanese person was able to add to their life in that short period of time. In the United States, in 1901, the average American lived to 49.3 years old. So think about how long your grandparents or your great-grandparents would live. And in 2011, it was 78.7 years. So people living in Great Britain and Japan
are besting our mortality rates in the USA by almost 2 years and 4 years, respectively. In general, people live the longest in Canada, Western Europe, and Australia, and then comes the United States. And then following us is Russia and China and the Arab nations, and then trailing way behind in life mortality are people that live in African nations. So where you live certainly has a lot to do with how long you live, yes? If we want to live to be almost 90, can I see a show of hands? Anyone want to live to 90? I know not everybody wants to live to 90, yeah? Some do, some don't. Well, you'd all have to move to the tiny city-state of Monaco, which is located in France's southern France. It's along the Mediterranean coast. And Monaco, as you know, is famous for 007, all of its incredible casinos, the beautiful harbor with that's lined with yachts and the Grand Prix motor race. I know all these things because I vacationed there as a child. Yeah, so I can remember some of those beautiful sights. But question for you: do casinos, yachts, and motor car races really constitute life? Now, some might believe that they do, but I don't. How about you? Didn't Jesus say to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in John chapter 4, everyone who drinks of this water will what? They will be thirsty again. But anyone who drinks of the water of life that I give to them will never, ever be thirsty ever again. Yes, it will become my water that I will give to people will become a well of unending water springing up unto eternal life. And so Holy Scripture is very clear in telling us about the difference between life in the here and now and eternal life, life that lasts forever. Now I don't want you to be fooled, my friends. Yes, that's one of the primary roles of a shepherd, of a pastor, a minister, is to lead his or her flock away from foolishness into places of truthfulness. Yes, I don't want you to be fooled. There are many cheap interpretations or experiences of eternal life that are out there. If you go to www.cryonics.org, and if you want to fact check me after the service, you're more than welcome to do so. www.cryonics.org. The Cryonics Institute in Clinton Township, Michigan, you can read all about it. They are extending the hope for eternal life to their clients. Their website states the following. You know, some of you are looking at me like, where did this come from, Pastor Daniel? It's on their website. Imagine a world free of disease, death, and aging. I thought the prophets told us all about that already. At the Cryonics Institute, we believe that day is inevitably coming, and cryonics is presently our best chance of getting there. To a life and a world that is free from disease, death, and aging. Our mission is to extend human lifespans by preserving the body using existing cryogenic technologies with the goal of revival by future science. You're putting your trust and faith in future science, my friends? But will it work? Their website says. Research makes a powerful case for cryonics. Get the facts and decide for yourself. But now you are probably wondering, how much, Pastor Daniel, right? Well, the price list is on the website, so I'm going to share that with you. Yes, there are two classes of Cryonics Institute membership. A lifetime member pays $28,000 for cryonic preservation, and an annual member pays $35,000. Anyone have $28,000, $35,000 lying around? Now, if you think that this is a joke, the Cryonics Institute already has over 100 people jarred and pickled in their location in Clinton Township, Michigan. Yes? Pure Michigan, right? But I have good news for you here today. In what is perhaps the greatest financial savings that anyone could ever offer to you. I mean, I'm not talking about $1,000 cash back on your next Chevy. Oh, no. I'm telling you right now, yes, my friends, it's a one-time deal offer only that I can save you between $28,000 and $32,000, yeah? Now, if anyone made that kind of offer to you, your reaction would be, where do I sign up? Where am I going to get where can I get $32,000? And that's exactly what the woman at the well said when Jesus had that conversation with her. She said, where can I drink from this water so that I don't have to keep coming here to Jacob's well and keep drawing from this well all the time? But if the word is of the Samaritan woman isn't enough, God himself says the same thing in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Here is what God says about the Son. God has given us eternal life, and this life is found within his Son. Isn't that the conversation that was taking place there in John chapter 4? Yes. That's what the text says. Whoever belongs to the Son has the promise of life. Not the Cryonics Institute, but the Son. Whoever doesn't belong to the Son does not have life. In the vernacular of energy conservation, there are, as many of us know, as we have been rightly educated, there are non-renewables, right? And non-renewables only last for a short period of time. And then there are renewables, and renewables go on and on and on and on. And I am here to tell you today to introduce you to the one that can give you the greatest gift that can ever be given, and that is renewable life. Life everlasting, not life limited to this life only, but life forever. There was a boat that docked at a tiny little Italian village, and an American tourist complimented the Italian fisherman on the quality of his fish and asked how long it took him to catch those beautiful fish. And the Italian fisherman answered, well, not very long. And So the American said, well, then why didn't you, if it didn't take you very long, why don't you stay out there a little bit longer and catch some more fish? And the Italian explained that his small catch was sufficient to meet his needs and those of his family. And so the American said, well, what do you do with the rest of your time? And the Italian said, well, I sleep late and I fish a little for my own recreation. I play with my children. I take a nice nap with my wife. In the late evenings, I go into the village. I see my friends. I play a little guitar. We have a beer or two. He says, I have a very full life. And the American interrupts. He says, I've got an MBA from Harvard, and I can help you out. You should start by fishing longer every day. You can then sell the extra fish that you catch, and with the extra revenue, you can buy a bigger boat. And with the extra money from the more fish from the larger boat, you can buy a second boat and a third boat and so on until you have a fleet of vessels. And instead of selling your fish to the middleman, you can negotiate then directly with the factory. In fact, give yourself enough time, you could probably own the factory and you could leave this little fishing village and you could go off to Rome or London or New York City. And the little Italian says, well, how long's all that going to take? And the American says, well, probably about 25 years. And then the little Italian says, well, what happens after that? Well, then afterwards, the American says, it gets really interesting. You know, your business is going to get so big and huge. You'll be making so much money. You can start selling your stocks and you'll be a millionaire. Millions? Really? Said the Italian. And after that, well, said the American, well, after that, let me see, you'll be able to retire. You'll be able to live in a tiny village near the coast. You'll be able to sleep late. You'll be able to play with your children, catch a few fish perhaps, and take a nice nap with your wife, and spend your evenings drinking and enjoying your friends. And the little Italian said, I'm already there. I'm already doing that. Yeah. But the title of this message is The Promise of Life and How to Have It. And the how to have it, well, that's easy. All we have to do is ask. 40 years ago, I asked Jesus for eternal life. Lord, would you have mercy upon me? Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you save me? Lord, would you grant unto me eternal life? And that request, that prayer that I prayed, asking our Lord to grant me eternal life, that's a prayer that we can all pray, yes? Amen? That is a prayer that we can all pray. And so, as Jesus said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock, my friends, and what? And the door shall be opened unto you. So let us pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes life wants to sell us all kinds of false promises about how we can live forever. Oh, it's packaged in all kinds of different ways, in money-making schemes or perhaps cryogenics. But Lord, we know that there is only one way, and to be granted and experience everlasting and eternal life, and that's to know you as the Scriptures boldly declare as our Savior. And so I pray this morning, Lord, if there are any within the sound of my voice, that they would take this moment and that they would welcome you into their hearts, that they would say yes to your promptings, yes to your divine urging to have them begin that journey of eternal life. I pray, Lord, for anyone within the sound of my voice, both here or beyond Shandon Church, that if they have doubts or are unsure or questions about what it means to accept you and live forever, that they would silently pray and say, Dear Jesus, I welcome you into my heart, and I thank you for the love that you have for me, and I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And so I say yes to your offer of eternal and everlasting life. It will cost me nothing, not even a penny. And so as we pray that prayer by faith, we know that we are saved and that we have life. And so we ask these things in your precious name, the name of Jesus, and all the people of God said, Amen.